Good morning, SDSU. It's 7:30 in the morning on April 26th here in the Reserve Book Room. Today, we are debating on intelligent design. And here I am, Lynn, with the affirmative side, with my team members, Kana, Judy, and Eric.
Okay. Good morning again, physics class. We are Team Yahoo. I am Captain Wendy. My team members are Jackie, Phil, and Matt, and we're going to be arguing for the negative side of intelligent design.
So to review the debate topic real quick, first, the affirmative side, Captain, me, Lynn, will give a 5-minute opening statement, and then Wendy of the opposing team will give her 5-minute opening statement. Then becomes the first team members. Kana will have her first argument. Jackie will rebut. Jackie will then present her negative argument, and Kana will rebut. After that, Judy will have the affirmative side's argument, where Phil will rebut, and then Phil will present his second argument, and Judy will rebut. Lastly, Eric will present the third argument for the affirmative side, and Matt will rebut for 2 minutes, and then he will present his third argument, and Eric will rebut for the affirmative side. In the end, the affirmative side will make a 3-minute closing statement, and then Wendy will have her negative 3-minute closing statement. And then after that, we have questions, if audience member have questions. Okay, so starting the debate. Hi, my name is Lynn. I'm captain of the team Google, and we're representing the affirmative side of intelligent design debate. The debate between creationism and Darwinism have been around for over 100 years, ever since the topic was introduced. Yet, even after 100 years later, very little has changed on the views. Creationists still stand cemented with their views of an intelligent designer, and evolutionists finding more evidence for their theory of the origins of life. Well, today we aren't debating which idea is right and which is wrong. That could go on forever. And then, even after that, there wouldn't really be a winner or a loser. However, today we are debating on whether intelligent design is a scientific theory, and if so, if it should be taught in science class or not. So to start off, what is science? Well, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, science is defined as knowledge obtained and tested through recognition of a problem, the collection of data through observations and experiments, and the creation of and testing of hypotheses. To put it simple, for something to be considered science, you must be able to collect data and through tests prove that it's right. According to the Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture, intelligent design is the concept that certain features of the universe and of living things are best explained by an intelligent cause, but are not an undirected process such as natural selection. Leading proponents of intelligent design, all of them affiliated with the Discovery Institute, say that intelligent design is a scientific theory that stands equal footing to, or is superior to, current scientific theories regarding the origins of life. From an article in The Lancet, an overwhelming majority of the scientific community, meaning over 70 scientific societies, institutions, and professional groups, including the American Institute of Physics, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and the National Academy of Sciences, views intelligent design not as a valid scientific theory, but as pseudoscience or junk science. An interesting fact that 500 scientists signed the Discovery Institute's Descent from Darwin petition. That's a pretty impressive number. But compare that to the 120,000 members of the American Association for the Advancement of Science that have firmly rejected intelligent design, plus more than 70,000 Australian scientists and educators that have condemned the teaching of intelligent design in school science classes. That 500 doesn't look as impressive anymore. The U.S. National Academy of Sciences has stated that intelligent design and other claims of supernatural intervention in the origin of life are not science because they cannot be tested by experiment, do not generate any predictions, and propose no new hypotheses on their own. In short, intelligent design is not a science and should not be taught as a scientific theory. Ideas such as the Earth only being 6,000 1,000 years old, when we know it is billions of years old, and many other ideas, such as evidence and such, will be expanded upon by my teammates Kana and Judy later on. Yet, if the statement of intelligent design isn't a science, so it shouldn't be taught as science, doesn't satisfy you, there are other reasons. A United States federal court recently ruled that public school district requirement for science classes to teach the intelligent design as an alternative to evolution was a violation of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. In 2005, the court case of Kitzmiller versus Dover Area School District, the United States District Judge John E. Jones III ruled that intelligent design is not science and essentially a religious in nature. More information on this and other topics are to come when my teammate Eric presents. As you can see, there are many reasons why intelligent design should not be taught as science in a science class, for the simple reason that it is not a scientific theory, and other reasons such as there are rules against it. More information on these ideas are to come.
My name is Wendy. I'm the captain for Team Yahoo, and I'll be arguing for the negative side. In 1802, Pateley wrote, "If we find a pocket watch in a field, we immediately infer that it was produced not by natural processes acting blindly, but by a designing human intellect. The natural world contains abundant evidence of supernatural creators." This argument for natural design prevailed as an explanation of the natural world until the publication of The Origins of Species in 1859 by Darwin. Natural History magazine states, "The argument from design has recently been revised by a number of academics with scientific credentials who maintain that their vision of the idea, unlike Paley's, is soundly supported by both microbiology and mathematics. These anti-evolutionists differ from fundamentalist creationists in that they accept that some species do change, but not much, and that the Earth is more than 6,000 years old. Like their predecessors, however, they reject the idea that evolution accounts for the array of species we see today, and they seek to have this concept, known as intelligent design, included by the science curriculums of school. This proposal is being heard in some political and educational circles and is currently the subject of a debate within the Ohio Board of Education. The Ohio Board of Education trial states that students should be exposed to intelligent design in order for them to be well-rounded. Charles Darwin wrote in 1860, "There seems to be no more design in the variability of organic beings than in the action of natural selection. That is the courses which in the course which the wind blows. Although many features of living things appear to be designed, Darwin's theory was that they are actually the result of indirect processes such as natural selection and random variation. Scientific theories, however, must be fit the evidence. Two examples of evidence for Darwin's theory of evolution, so widely used that Wells calls them the icons of evolution, are Darwin's finches and the four-winged fruit fly. Yet both of these, it seems to me, show that Darwin's theory cannot account for all features of living things. Darwin's finches consist of several species on the Galapagos Island, and that differ mainly in size and shape of their beaks. Beak differences are correlated with that the bird eats, suggesting that various species might have descended from a common ancestor by adapting the different foods through natural selection. In the 1970s, biologists Peter and Rosemary Grant went to the Galapagos to observe this process in the wild. New features required new variation. In the modern version of Darwin's theory, these come from DNA mutations. Most DNA mutations are harmful and thus eliminated by natural selection. A few, however, are advantageous, such as mutations that increase antibiotic resistance and bacteria and pesticide resistance in plants and animals. Antibiotic and pesticide resistance are often cited as evidence that DNA mutations provide the raw material for evidence for evolution, but they affect only chemical processes. Major evolutionary changes would require the mutations that produce advantageous anatomical changes as well. Normal fruit flies have two wings and two balancers, tiny structures behind the wings that help stabilize the insects in flight. In the 1970s, genetics discovered that a combination of three major mutations in a single gene produced flies in which the balancers developed into normal-looking wings. The resulting four-winged flies is sometimes used to illustrate how mutations can produce the sort of anatomical changes that Darwin's theory needs. But the extra wings are not new structures, only duplication of existing ones. Furthermore, the extra wings lack muscles and are therefore worse than useless. The four-winged fly is severely handicapped, like a small plane with extra wings dangling from its tail. As is the case with all other anatomical mutations studied so far, those in the four-winged fly cannot provide raw materials for evolution. In the absence of evidence that natural selection and random variation can account for the apparently designed features of living things, the entire question of design must be reopened. Alongside Darwin's against design, students should be taught that design remains a possibility.
Thank you, Lynn and Wendy, for that excellent opening. Now, my name is Kana, and I'm from Team Google, and I will be presenting the first argument on why intelligent design should not be taught in school. Intelligent design cannot be taught in school as a science class because it is a religious belief that provides no evidence of its existence. The word science is defined in the encyclopedia as a system of acquiring knowledge through empiricism, experimentation, and methodological naturalism. Science consists of courses such as astronomy, biology, chemistry, and physics, all of which have shown proof that information given in these courses can be tested and calculated for by others. In science, methodological naturalism can be defined as observable events in nature that can only be explained by natural causes, without the effect of the existence or non-existence of supernatural entities. The natural world consists of energy and matter, such as atoms and elements and DNA that can be found in animals, which Judy will later on further explain to you where it comes from. One of the important bases of science that help define what is and can be classified as a science is through experimentation. Experiment can be studied and tested from what is found by founded by nature or through mathematical manipulation. For example, the theory of evolution proves that humans are descendants of primates from the discovery of Neanderthal fossils. In science, the scientific method is a type of experiment that is used for investigation of unexplained phenomena to gain new knowledge about the natural world. The scientific method are impersonal experiments that others should be able to manipulate if given the procedures to carry out that experiment. Any individual that claims only he and no others can manipulate his scientific findings cannot be considered a work of science. Creationists believe that the universe is created by some supernatural being. In science, supernatural entities are not considered part of science. Creation science is based on faith and is not supported by scientific observation of the natural world. Creationism is not science and does not have a legitimate place in any science curriculum. One of the problems about teaching intelligent design in school is that some teachers might use intelligent design to mask the teaching of religious belief to their students. For example, in the Kitzmiller versus Dover Area School District court case, the teachers were found guilty for teaching intelligent design in a public school district, which violate the First Amendment because they are teaching their students to believe that God created the universe. Not only does the teaching of intelligent design violate the First Amendment, it also violates the definition of science, as I have stated above. Science is the study of life through observation and knowledge of the natural world. Intelligent design cannot be observed and studied to provide proof that a creator exists. The creator must be present to state that he was the creator of the universe and show proof through experimentation or mathematical manipulation to prove it was he who created the universe. Or there must be some archaeological facts that can be studied and manipulated to explain that a supernatural creator had designed it. Then others should be able to duplicate his findings through time, and the experiment must carry out many times before it can even be considered as a theory and that it might even be proven true. If intelligent design can be studied and manipulated, then creationists can call their belief a science, but no evidence has been found to prove and explain that a creator exists and that he created the universe, only the biblical teaching of the Bible. I have stated, intelligent design is only a qualitative experiment and not quantitative because you can't measure it. So since you can't measure something, it cannot be considered as a science. And since it's not a science, it should not be taught alongside any science courses such as physics, astronomy, or biology because it just violates the definition of science. Since intelligent design cannot be proven as a science, it should not be taught along other science courses as a scientific theory. Thank you. I'm finished with my debate.
This is Jacqueline from Team Yahoo, and I'll be rebutting Kana's argument. The first argument that I will be rebutting is that there needs to be clarification on intelligent design. Intelligent design isn't a religion. It's a theory stating that there is a creator, not a god, and does not have spiritual implications, which religion does. Another point that I would like to make is clarification on intelligent design. It's not the same as creationism, which Kana defined in her first argument. There's also an interesting fact that astronomy and other sciences are religious based on Greek and Roman mythology. So there are other scientists that their basis was religion, and they found a lot of scientific facts on the physical world around them. And that's the end of my rebuttal. Hello, this is Jackie from Team Yahoo. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jackie. But,
sorry.
No, your facts are true. But originally, ID did come from like the church and what they believe in. Is because the church originally just came up with the idea of intelligent design just so that they can actually teach kind of religious or biblical teaching for them. Do you have something to say? Go ahead.
You can't base something off of its past because things change. And intelligent design now is not the same as it was back then. And that was Phil. Sorry.
Okay.
I want to clarify something really quick. Also, if you can't see something, it doesn't make it real. That's what you said. If you can't see something, then it's not real. That's not necessarily true. You can't see air and molecules without a microscope or any other such thing, but yet they're still real. We know about them. We can study them. That makes it just as quantitative as intelligent design.
Well, we can't see it, but yet we still have instruments that actually can see the small molecules. So still, I mean, if you guys can come up with an instrument that say that God created the universe, that's when it can, you know, be tested.
Well, it's the same manner as testing evolution.
It's the same way as you see one or the other. Evolution and intelligent design can be equally seen.
Okay. Okay, this is Jackie from Team Yahoo. I'd like to begin with a quote that has been embedded in our minds ever since we were children, which is, try to see the other point of view before passing judgment. From the beginning of our educational careers, educators have stressed the importance of approaching situations with an objective and open mind. The goal of the standard high school educational system is to create a well-rounded individual, introducing intelligent design alongside other scientific ideas such as Darwin's evolution and Mendel's plant hybrids, allows analysis and comparison of these theories, which will ultimately lead to a deeper understanding of the scientific background. Across the nation, one of the main goals of a high school educator is to teach a student to become more objective. At Augusta High in Washington, their goal states, our purpose is to provide quality learning experiences for Augusta students that encourage them to be lifelong learners and gives them the opportunities to discover, develop, and share their talents and interests. The Augusta School vision is to create the best quality students who demonstrate a substantial knowledge base, a desire for lifelong learning, an awareness of the world and environment, and a command of thinking and communication process. All of these points can not be possible unless students are taught both sides of the argument. Objectivity is one of the main reasons why intelligent design should be taught concurrent with evolution. To not expose children to both theories, the U.S. government is effectively telling the children that Charles Darwin was correct and intelligent design is wrong, which is not the case. One way we could integrate intelligent design with evolution is through a system which Stephen Jay Gould described as the non-overlapping magistral model, or for short, the NOMA model. This NOMA model consists of two separate realms of evolution and one of intelligent design. These two realms effectively try to explain the link, if any, between a creator and evolution. One particular gnomon design is called the effective gnomon design, which I have drawn on the board, which consists of two spheres overlapping, showing that the science sphere overlaps the intelligent design sphere. In the middle, where the two overlap, is the perception of our origins. Under this model, science is actually given precedence over intelligent design with respect to origins. This model contends to teach that intelligent design can never conflict or overpower science. In other words, intelligent design can be taught because theoretically it will not collide with science. By teaching kids to be objective through intelligent design, we reap benefits of students who learn scrutiny towards science. And by this, through analysis and comparison, students can see successes and flaws for all ideas and theories. This will ultimately lead to scientific growth.
Thank you, Jackie. I'm so sorry. Anyways, okay, even though you say that the NOMA model keeps religion and science in their own separate realms, if they have both have different theories of where the origin of life come from, wouldn't that be contradicting? There can be there can't be two ways that life was created, but then if you put those two ideas together so it doesn't contradict, so it would overlap, they wouldn't be separate. But that's not the point. The point is that although you say that they are separate ideas, they are implication that intelligent design may have religious background.
Are you done?
Yeah.
My name is Judy, and I'll be presenting the second argument for Team Google. In my argument, I'll be providing evidence as to why intelligent design should not be taught along with evolution in classes, because evolution is classified as a science, while intelligent design is a religious ideology. Some interesting questions that always come up are questions such as, how did our universe begin? How did matter come to exist? And most importantly, how did life come about? For our purposes, we are going to use the Big Bang Theory in order to help us better understand how our universe was created and how life was the result from the synthesis of the first atoms. Approximately 15 billion years ago, the Big Bang occurred. You may ask, what is the Big Bang? It was a tremendous explosion that started the expansion of the universe. Unlike creationism, evolution has the evidence to help show us that life evolved. In 1948, the Russian-American physicist George Mankow proposed that the universe was created in a gigantic explosion. And like Hannah said earlier, the various elements observed today were produced within the first few minutes after the explosion. After the Big Bang, the universe was extremely hot, and as a result, particles of matter and everything else was rushing in all directions. Once it began to cool down, everything started to collide and destroy one another, thus created energy and the expansion of the universe. The development of these new particles are called baryons and include protons, neutrons, and electrons, and it would be the building blocks of matter and life. While studying these different particles more in depth, we were able to gain a better understanding of how life evolved. Some people believe that species and life in general evolved through evolution, while others believe that God created the universe. One question that does come to mind is, what proof do we have that God created the universe when we do not have any evidence to trace back how he created it? Just saying he created is not a good enough reason to just accept it. That's because this could be the same idea as randomly picking up some fact that has no proof or evidence and accepting it without any questions asked. I mean, many of us would be geniuses, right? Let's say, for example, the person who committed the crime fled from the scene and was nowhere to be found. And then the detective, he just picked a random person and accused that person of the crime with no evidence backing up his claim. The person that did not commit the crime is facing the consequences because there is no proof. But with evolution and science, at least we have the proper tools to find the murderer. We're able to use DNA testing such to prove that they are guilty. The idea we propose is that it is likely that life was created through evolution, and there is evidence that this is true. It dates back to the Big Bang. The product was hydrogen atoms being created and in turn created life. In the real world, we would be able to use evolution and science to help us solve a murder case. Creationism does not give us the ability to do that. I mean, if we had a bloodstain left from a murder case, we'd be able to use DNA testing to trace back the bloodstains to the culprit because of evidence. And without evidence, we would not be able to do so. Okay, Charles Darwin published the book The Origin of Species in 1859, where he makes one long argument for the theory that groups of organisms rather than individual organisms gradually evolve through the process of natural selection. The evidence that Darwin had patiently gathered quickly convinced scientists that evolution by natural selection better explained life's complexity and diversity. Darwin proposed his findings in a scientific matter rather than a religious explanation. The fit between organisms and environment is the result of natural selection, and today scientists were able to explain features of living things by invoking not only natural selection but also additional biological processes that Darwin did not know about, including gene transfer, symbiosis, chromosomal rearrangement, and the action of regulator genes. In conclusion, I have addressed some of the reasons that point more towards evolution. We have the evidence, proof, and science to back up our point. We would be able to use science as evidence, but what exactly would we be able to use creationism for? Darwin's theory of organisms evolving through natural selection and the occurrence of the Big Bang. Matter and antimatter collide and create entropy and later hydrogen. This is how life came along. This information is essential and can be taught in classes because we have the facts to back up our information, whereas if you are teaching the students from the perspective of Bible and God explaining life, how do we know God created life? What kind of evidence do we have to back up what is being taught? When you provide the evidence that God exists, and then I will take part in your argument. Just a simple fact that God exists is not a valid reason. Have you met someone that has spoken to God, or do you know someone that has? Besides, the fact that God exists and everyone says that he does is not a good enough reason.
We request a timeout for a second.
Okay. 1 minute timeout.
Okay. So you can talk crap. It's okay. I will model science and tell you this question come about. You have a deeper understanding of our origin. There's no evidence on that transformation. She says that that intelligence isn't something that you just pick up at, or is something that you just pick up and say that's a theory. There's been so many other theories, such as Galileo. Nobody believed that.
Intelligence is something you can't just pick up.
Yeah. It's something that has to be created. No, I mean, like, she was saying that, like, intelligent design is not valid. But if you go back to a lot of other scientists, like Galileo, they were discredited. Darwin was discredited, too, when he first...
Because he wasn't the one that started with this. It was Wallace.
And Darwin
took his information from Wallace.
Yeah.
And Spencer.
And everyone discredited him.
You have to remember, Darwin's theory was based on Malthus.
Time.
Okay. It's Phil from Team Yahoo. I'll be rebutting Judy's argument. Sorry. But first, we wanted to clarify something about what Kana about the normal model. Another part of the normal model that states that science and intelligent design do have their connection with origins and that they're the same. They both believe that an intelligent designer designed the world intelligently. As for Judy's argument, the evidence on natural selection... Oh, not that one, sorry. There are other examples of people that have... you were saying how there are some examples of how other scientists have been discredited for their work. For example, Galileo, nobody believed him. Ptolemy, Darwin got his ideas from someone else, yet he was discredited. And also we have to clarify again that intelligent design is not a religion. And it's not a belief in God. It's a belief in a creator that has been creating a universe that is intelligently designed. You have to get that right, because we're not creationism, we're intelligent design. So what you're saying about being the Bible, that has nothing to do with intelligent design, because intelligent design does not follow the Bible. Creationism does. Darwin?
Time.
Yeah. Okay, this is Phil again from Team Yahoo, and I will be presenting the second argument for my team. But before I do that, I think it is necessary to once again clarify the definition of intelligent design. The idea of intelligent design revolves around the belief that complexity of the natural world cannot have occurred by chance. This means that everything natural in this world was specifically designed in that way by some outside influence, a sort of quote-unquote creator that could be anyone or anything. The creator does not necessarily have to be a god, it can be an intelligent action. There are ways to tell if intelligent action has occurred. For instance, William Dembski, an accredited intelligent design theorist and scientist with many PhDs and degrees, and the recipient of 2 fellowship awards from the National Science Foundation, provides a very basic example for understanding intelligent action and design in the classroom. He likens intelligent design to the letters on a Scrabble board, obviously arranged in such a way that it indicates arrangement by an intelligent agent. This is similar to the very specific and complex genetic DNA language, which also suggests design. Perhaps I can take what my Captain Wendy said about the fruit flies and apply it to intelligent design in a student-friendly way. As she said, these fruit flies have 2 balances associated with their wings, and they were necessary for the fruit fly to function efficiently. When those balances were removed, they couldn't do anything. Any intelligent design theorist would believe that the fruit fly was specifically designed with those 2 balancers so it can function. Since intelligent design attempts to explain scientific things in a scientific manner, it can be considered a science. Simple examples like this are perfect ways to illustrate the intelligent design idea. With that definition clarified, I can now state my argument. The gist of my argument is as follows. Intelligent design should be taught in science classes as a means to gain a deeper understanding of science. As my teammate Jackie explained, if you were to introduce intelligent design into the science classroom, you would be opening up new territory for the students to explore. The students would therefore become objective and open-minded. It's this objectivity by the future scientists that can ultimately further the exploration into science. By introducing intelligent design, science can benefit in the following ways. Adding intelligent design to the scientific curriculum will heighten the interest of budding scientists. By being exposed to this information, students may be encouraged to look into the subject further. Who knows, maybe these students can prove intelligent design right, or they can even prove it wrong. The point is that you are getting more information about the topic. And that is a benefit to science because you are potentially, as I said, gaining more information. Also, even if the student has intelligent design-like ideas, he should not be denied the right to be a scientist. Isaac Newton, the father of classical physics, believed in intelligent design-like ideas, in that he believed in an intelligently designed world. He set out to prove this and wound up discovering many laws of physics. As you can see, intelligent design can be very beneficial to science. Another way to encourage students into science is by giving the students more scientific background. In fact, this is already being done in science classes, teaching kids about how certain theories were developed over time. You can give timelines of evolutionary thought, starting with the father of taxonomy, Carl Linnaeus, going to non-Darwinian evolution by John B. Lamarck, going to Darwinism and Mendel, and you can compare this to the timeline of intelligent design, which stems back all the way to Plato, who wrote Timaeus, a work that explores natural design, and Aristotle, who referred to a prime mover as the natural creator of the universe. By teaching students this sort of scientific history, you'll be giving the students information about how and why theories were created and why theories were dropped, expanding scientific thinking. These introductions of theories once again give objectivity to the students. They can properly choose a field of research that interests them, and after getting all the information they need, and their further research leads to expansion of science. So in conclusion, bringing intelligent design to the classroom can prove beneficial to science as a whole. Students may be inspired into doing research into intelligent design and will further our knowledge, and they might even discover laws just as Newton did centuries ago. It seems that no matter what you believe, you can still be a scientist and you can still contribute to the scientific community.
We would like to take a 1 minute break. Thank you.
Okay, this is Judy again, and I'm going to be reviewing against Phil. Earlier you said with your example with Galileo, you said that he was discredited, but he was only discredited because there was more in-depth information to be found and someone else found it. And due to the fact that there's more information found, it gives us a better understanding and more accurate information to gain. And science and evolution is a continuing process. So, you know, we're always going to be learning new things, like, every day. And intelligent design, we're not saying that it can't be taught in general. We're just saying that it should not be taught as a science. You can teach it to any other individual as maybe a philosophy class or something. And intelligent design usually deals with supernatural, and that's not a science. And
Really quick counter rebuttal. This is Wendy again. I'm really sorry about this, but you keep saying that Darwin collected more data. Darwin didn't collect any other data other than what he collected on the Beagle in the Galapagos Island. That's all the data he collected. He based his theory on Thomas Malthus' population growth, which is where he got natural selection, and he based it on Herbert Spencer's idea of survival of the fittest. Darwin didn't get more data. All he had was that specific set of data points, which are the finches and the fruit flies, to base his information on.
Okay. Hi, my name is Eric, and I am presenting the third and final argument against intelligent design for Team Google. So now that we know intelligent design is not a scientific theory, I will discuss specific court cases and certain violations which reveal that intelligent design should not be taught as a science in science classes. Now, as we have continually said throughout the debate, intelligent design is not a science, and to have it taught in our schools is not only denying our students the right information, but it is against the law as well. This is where the idea of separation of church and state comes into play. It is against the law to teach religious beliefs in our public school systems, and this includes intelligent design. Teaching intelligent design in our public schools is an illegal practice and goes against the Establishment Clause and the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, which can be in the court case Tammy Kitzmiller versus Dover Area School District, which Kana briefly introduced earlier. This court case of Kitzmiller versus Dover was the first direct challenge brought in the United States federal courts against a public school district that required the presentation of intelligent design as an alternative to evolution to explain how the origins of life began. Because the school district, required the presentation of intelligent design as an alternative to the idea of evolution, the plaintiffs, which were 11 parents of the Dover students, successfully argued that intelligent design is a form of creationism, which in essence went against, as I said earlier, the Establishment Clause and the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. And to describe these two laws briefly that the school district violated, the Establishment Clause is one of the two clauses that make up what is commonly known as the Religion Clauses. This has been interpreted as the prohibition of, number one, the establishment of a national religion by Congress, and two, the preference of one religion over another, or of religion over non-religious philosophies in general. And to briefly refresh your memory on what the First Amendment is, the amendment prevents the U.S. Congress from infringing on six rights of an individual. And one of these rights states that it forbids laws that establish a state religion or prefer a certain religion over another. Now, Judge Jones in the Kitzmiller versus Dover Area School District case concluded that intelligent design is not a science, but rather is a religious theory that had no place in the science classroom. There are three reasons behind this conclusion. The first reason was that intelligent design violated the self-imposed convention of the scientific method by relying upon a supernatural explanation for a natural phenomenon, rather than the approach favored in science, which is testability, as was mentioned earlier by Kana. Once again, intelligent design cannot be tested. Secondly, intelligent design is based on the same contrived dualism as creation science. Namely, its suggestion that every piece of evidence tending to discredit evolution confirms intelligent design. And finally, the expert testimony coming from the defendants in support of intelligent design had been refuted in peer-reviewed research papers. Another important case involving intelligent design in our classrooms was the court case of Epperson versus Arkansas. This court case decision prohibited state governments from using any particular religious tenet as a basis for education. And as a result of this Supreme Court case decision, states were forbidden to ban the teaching of evolution, even in public schools. At this point, scientific creationism began to develop by those for looking for a way to challenge evolution in science classes with something that did not appear to be as overtly religious. Finally, with concern to the trial of Galileo in 1633, though it did not involve evolution and intelligent design, it is still very significant because a book called Dialogue was published and supported the Copernican theory that the Earth revolved around the sun rather than, as the Bible suggested, the other way around. This shows that with concern to religion, no evidence was given to support that the sun revolved around the Earth. And yet today, there is no evidence that intelligent design is a science.
Okay, this is Matt from Team Yahoo, and I would like to use our final timeout.
The reason why you want to implicate both the sides is because what do you do when a student asks, where does everything come from, and you don't have an answer? I know that's the obvious problem. We have to, again, go back to that. This is not a religion.
I'll just say we're going to be clarifying that.
We're going to be clarifying. Separation between church and state would not apply here because it is not a religious theory. A creator, but no spiritual belief system, which is the definition of religion. It just says that there's a creator, but not like a belief system.
Oh. Okay, this is Matt, and I'm gonna do my rebuttal on Eric's arguments. He keeps on referring back to the First Amendment on how it's that we're intelligent design is all about religion, but First Amendment also states that we have free speech of expression. So, and he keeps on referring that intelligent design and religion are somewhat synonymous with each other, but they're actually not like the same thing. Intelligent design has a scientific foundation in which we should be able to teach in science classes. He also refers that to separation between church and state, but it wouldn't apply to this case because it is not a religious theory, a creator, but no spiritual, it's not a spiritual belief system. Okay, now this is my argument.
Okay, first of all, you're saying, this is Eric, and I'm doing a 30-second rebuttal against Matt. And you're saying that one of the six
rights of the First Amendment was freedom of speech, correct? And for freedom of speech, if you involve religion in that clause, that's still going against the First Amendment. You cannot involve religion in the freedom of speech. And if, and that's basically
Calendar, Eric, it's Phil. Intelligent design is not a religion. We've clarified this many times. Many times, actually. Oh, and
I'm sorry, this is Kana. I'm just going to do a really quick rebuttal. If it wasn't a religion, the Supreme Court of the United States would not rule against it, saying that it's a religion cannot be taught in school.
Okay, this is Matt, and I'm going to do my final argument. My argument is based on the misconception that religion is the basis of intelligent design. That's totally wrong. One can be very religious and still come up with many lasting ideas that further advance the theory of intelligent design. Intelligent design and religion are not synonymous with each other. Just like any other theory, intelligent design has many scientific observations and data that help give evidence of this idea. Intelligent design theory makes inferences based upon observations about the types of complexity that can be produced by the action of intelligent agents versus the type of information that can be produced through purely natural processes to infer that life was designed by an intelligent designer. Intelligent design is a scientific theory which has its root in information theory and observations about intelligent action. It makes no statements about the identity of the intelligent designer, but merely says that intelligent action was involved at some points at the origins of various aspects of biological life. If a function vital to survival of an organism of a given structure could occur only if a given set of parts were present, and this complex set of parts were to come into being, then we could justifiably infer it was intelligently designed. Like my teammate Jackie stated with the NOMA model, in principle, one can make the claim that life was designed with a scientific method. If intelligent design claims that life was designed via scientific method, then it is scientific theory and not a religious theory of design. Religion is not the basis for intelligent design, but can coexist with intelligent design. Many have argued that intelligent theory is religion because of the religious affiliation of many groups promoting intelligent design theory. Many have said that because so many religious people promote intelligent design, it must be a religious concept. That is not a true statement. To attribute characteristics to something just because those affiliated with it have certain characteristics is to commit what is known as a genetic fallacy or ad hominem. One is criticizing a person rather than the argument. To criticize a person that is religious does not mean that their claims are unscientific. Religious motivations are irrelevant to determining if an idea is scientific. Many scientists, such as Kepler and Newton, use their religious beliefs to motivate themselves to find out if there was an intelligent designer. There are many religious scientists that came up with many important scientific laws that help further the information and knowledge that we hold today. I would like to point out that intelligent design has very little religious inclination. The physicist Isaac Newton was deeply religious, who wanted to show show an intelligent design of the natural world and wound up discovering many of the great laws that all classical physics is built on. Kepler was a noted astronomer that established the laws of planetary motion, who was also very religious. Throughout his life, Kepler was a profoundly religious man. All his writings contain numerous references to a higher being, and he saw his work as a fulfillment of his beliefs and duty to understand the works of the higher being. Kepler was convinced that there was an intelligent creator and that intelligent creator made the universe according to a mathematical plan. Since it's generally accepted at the time that mathematics provide a secure method of arriving truths about the world, we here have a strategy for the understanding the universe. As quoted from the Journal of the American Scientific Affiliation, he believed that everything in nature is arranged according to measure and number, and was convinced that geometrical natures of things have provided the creator the model for decorating the entire world. In all of this, there's been no mentions of God in our entire debate or adherence to any religious text, but rather we use observations about how intelligent design works in the present to look at the aspects of the natural world to see if they are designed. Intelligent design theory is based solely upon applying observations about intelligent action and principles of information theory to be construction of biological systems and nothing more. There is nothing supernatural, religious, or non-scientific about intelligent design theory. In its current form, intelligent design theory also can say nothing about the designer other than the designer was intelligent. Whether you agree with intelligent design theory or not, you have to agree about one thing. It has scientific basis. The point here is that if it has scientific basis, it should be allowed to be taught in all science classes.
Okay, we're going to take another final 1 minute thing break.
You got it.
Okay. Don't worry.
I'm listening.
There, you got it?
Yeah.
You're listening.
Can you pay with me?
Yes,
huh? Any questions? Okay. To just repeat here.
Intelligent design has an advantage with
the range. It's supposedly not fit in the court case.
I'm saying because the court case ruled that it was.
Yeah, it was like a back door to creating some sort of religious belief. It's not that way, but the court case ruled that it was.
Go ahead and
go. 5 seconds. Okay, this is Eric, and I'm doing my rebuttal against Matt. And basically, Matt and his team wants you to see that we were just simply placed on this earth by a supernatural entity with no proof whatsoever. We just simply ask that you please do not let your religion get in the way of our arguments, but what would you rather believe? That we were simply placed on this planet because some supernatural entity said, you go here and you go there? Or would you rather believe that we actually evolved from atoms and molecules through time, just like Judy said in her argument where she talked about the Big Bang Theory, and how after some period of time, hydrogen atoms were created, which is an essential part of life, and to the existence of life itself through testing and observations. True, it is hard to believe that even though we've gone through repetitive experimentation, that we actually evolved from tiny particles. However, it is even harder to believe that we just showed up on this earth out of nowhere. And you also mentioned that intelligent design used a scientific method, but can you actually prove that intelligent design was proven or that it is actually reproducible, which is an important part in the scientific method? You also talked about how intelligent design has no affiliation to religion whatsoever, but as I stated in my argument, in the court case of Kitzmiller versus the Dover Area School District, Judge Jones concluded that intelligent design is not a science, but rather is a religious theory that had no place in a science classroom.
Because he came up to the conclusion that it didn't fully have religious background, but it was sort of a backdoor to teach different things.
Okay, I guess I'm doing a counter-rebuttal to Eric. You say that we evolved from, it hasn't been proven that we evolved from different molecules or atoms. If we're purely natural evolution actually occurred, in the past, and all living organisms should share a common ancestor, one would expect to find transitions between the one form and another in the fossil record. Not every organism or species that has ever lived will be preserved. In fact, the vast majority will probably not be fossilized due to the lack of appropriate conditions. The prediction of transitional forms thus needs to be a hard and fast rule, but if common descent and fully natural evolution is true.
Time. Okay, are we done? Okay. That was a really long debate. And we went back and forth about how intelligent design has something to do with religion or it doesn't have anything to do with religion. Although it doesn't fully state some God created the world, if something supernatural or something else, some intelligent designer creates something, like, for example, the pocket watch, you can say that, sure, somebody created it, but to have something supernatural, in sense, be a basis of your argument or about of your science doesn't mean that it's scientifically, it's a scientific theory. Plus, like, you've heard a couple reasons why there isn't science background in intelligent design, and then you've also heard that, you know, through court cases, especially the Kitzmiller versus Dover, it states that it ruled that it wasn't, it was religious in background. And I don't think that if somebody that high up ruled that, then it wouldn't make, you know, a difference. And I'm rambling. And yeah, I'm done.
Hello again, this is Wendy, and I'll be concluding for the negative side. So we've gone over all the aspect, religious, scientific, and it all goes back to the same. You can prove as much science facts for evolution as you can for intelligent design. If you look at intelligent design, take a lung, for example. A lung has certain parts of it that make it function. It's very machine-like. A machine is designed by someone, meaning, therefore, a lung could be designed by somebody else. Now, there's a book written by James Moore. He wrote The Darwin Legend. I don't know if you guys have read it or looked at it at all, but it's basically a biography of Darwin's life. And what it does, it discredits the rumors that Darwin himself was an evolutionist. Darwin was not an evolutionist, he was a deist. A deist is someone who believes that some creating intelligence has designed the universe a set of natural laws. He based his theory of evolution on other people's ideas and his own belief system. Therefore, if Darwin, who is the creator of this theory, can be objective and incorporate intelligent design into his theory, why can't we include it within the school's curriculum? And I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and this is Team Yahoo.
And
hey.
We just now real quick, we have two audience members with us. If you would like to say your names real quick, can you just please introduce yourself real quick?
Alina.
Wood. Okay, and you guys can go ahead with any questions that you have.
Okay, I have one. Jackie, you said that other types of science, such as astronomy, demonstrate the use of religion. Exactly what facts did those science come up with? Can you please explain some?
Said that astronomy actually more along the lines of religious motivations. A lot of the early scientists have had religious motivation to help explain the world around them, some including Darwin, who was a deist, as what Wendy said earlier. He got some data which helped explain the world around him and the different kinds of animals on the Galapagos Island. Another example is Mendel, who was a monk, and he studied the types of plants around the monastery. Sir Isaac Newton was also very religious, and we all know what he's done. And Galileo, he observed the world and the sky, which ultimately led to the discovery and the arrangement of the universe which we go by today.
Alright, my name is Quinn, and I have a question for Judy. Judy, you said Darwin gathered more data to strengthen the theory of evolution. Could you tell us some of the other experiments he conducted?
Okay, first of all, I never said that Darwin collected more information. I said that he wrote The Origin of Species, and in his argument, he said that groups of organisms evolved through natural selection, and Darwin collected evidence patiently and quickly, which means that he did not collect a whole lot. He collected enough to convince scientists that evolution explains life's complexities. His findings were presented more in a scientific matter rather than a religious matter. And Darwin's theory of evolution is based on key observations. Species have great infertility and population remains roughly the same size within modest fluctuation. And Darwin infers that natural selection, if carried far enough, make changes in population, eventually leading to new species. He put forward observations as demonstrations, and this, he also claims that fossil records can be interpreted as supporting these observations. Darwin imagined it might be possible that all life is descended from original species from ancient time, and through DNA we're able to be consistent with this idea. Are we done?
Are we done so I can push the button?
There's another question.
I have one more question.
Oh, okay.
This is for Zelina. This is for the Team Yahoo. You said that there was evidence that an intelligent designer had created the Earth. Can you tell us who and what and where are the evidence?
We didn't say there was evidence. We said there was scientific theories that help support the existence of an intelligent designer. Just like we've said that there's an intelligent designer, not a god. But the evidence could, I mean, you could simply link it to any type of experiment, like Jackie said, to Mendel. You can even link it up to evolution, because evolution can be taken also in the religious way. If something's changing, what's causing that change other than time? I mean, it's not like one morning you wake up and you're like, oh, look, I have a tail. Someone is telling you you need a tail for some reason. I mean, maybe a stupid example, but it's an example.
Okay. Well, Wendy, the thing about it is, you said that there's no evidence for science. You need to have evidence to be able to test it out and to say that it's a science. So you should not be able to teach intelligent design in a science course. Like we said earlier, like Julie said, you can teach it in philosophy, but it should not be taught as a science course. It can be taught as a belief.
Well, it's like quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics has more of a philosophical approach to the science, yet quantum mechanics is still taught. Look at physics. That's what we're learning right now in part, and it's more philosophical than anything else. It's a circular argument. We can go back to saying, well, if intelligent design is also more on the philosophical approach, why can't we teach it? It doesn't imply intelligent design has to have religious bases. It just has to...
No, we're not saying you can't teach it. We're saying that you shouldn't teach it in science courses. That is it.
Well, then let's take quantum as out of physics. It's a philosophical approach.
You still have mathematical, like, you know, equations that you can actually prove. And even if you put any numbers in, it'll still come out the same. It'll still come out right. And I mean, it's just like for anything, like, you know, gravity. How can we prove that it's right? It's because through math, just like quantum mechanics. But you have no math, no evidence to prove that ID is a science.
Well, it's like intelligent design in anatomy or physiology.
We have the NOAA model, then.
Yeah, I mean, we have the NOAA model.
The NOAA model integrates the intelligent design into evolution, so in a way that the student will become more objective, and that was one of our main reasons. I think we kind of strayed away from the actual point.
Okay. And I think that concludes our debate for Team Yahoo.
Yay.